Warning. DC on CW contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
My name is Oliver Queen.
You died. I went to your funeral.
The city would save
me. What happened to you? The rights remain silent, but I'm not a cop
anymore.
I'm from the future.
My name is Barry Allen, and I am the fastest man alive.
Supergirl.
You people become a team.
Hey, cuz.
It's good to see you.
This looks like a job for the both of us.
Absolutely. Heroes. You're legends. You have failed this city.
Any preference on how you'd like to die? The flame or the frost?
What is up, guys? Welcome. You are listening to DC on CW, the Arrow edition on Rain Man Digital. If you're listening from your desktop, take us mobile, download that Rain Man Digital app, available on the iTunes App Store and the Google Play Store. Search Rain Man Digital. Also, you can find us on demand if you want to listen to us later on iTunes and Stitcher. Search for DC on CW. Once you find us on iTunes and Stitcher, leave us a review. It helps the show out a lot. Bobby's like dancing like in my face right now. All right. As always, I am your show host, Ryan Denton. In the studio with me today is Bobby Doherty.
Hello, hello.
And Michael Flores.
Hey.
So we are going to talk about Arrow today. And this was an interesting episode. And what I mean by that is like really good. And I think our initial thoughts on it, where like as the episode started, we were like, what the fuck? And then as it went on, we were like, what?
Yeah, I was hate watching for about 15 minutes. Yep. I was like, no, please don't do this. Don't do this. I know where it's going. Yep.
I almost quit.
Yeah, dude, like.
Really?
I was really that upset watching it.
And then, dude, they kicked us all right in the penis, dude.
It was awesome.
It was awesome. I think, and you know what, though? We needed that. We needed a swift kick in the nuts.
Like, we're smarter than we think. Like the writers, not us.
Yes.
I think they did a decent job. I mean, if they stay the course.
Yeah.
Based on what we've seen in this episode, then I think they made some right moves. I think they could have done things differently along the way to get there and not make us hate so many of the characters that won us over last season.
Yep.
But yeah.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, dude. Like, we've got 5 episodes left. If they're anything like this episode, holy fuck, we're in for a ride.
I agree.
So today, we'll be breaking down and discussing. We're talking about Arrow Season 6, Episode 18, Fundamentals. Oliver attempts to take down Diaz alone as a familiar foe from the past makes an unexpected return. Yeah. A big time. Dude, I'm not going to lie. I about pooped when that fucking elevator opened. I almost shit myself.
I was going, they still haven't upgraded that fucking system.
People just walking in.
Yeah. Like, I'm waiting to watch somebody walk in one time and be like, I was at Bloomingdale's. I heard there's a bathroom down here. This isn't lingerie. What the fuck?
Where are all the toasters? I just needed a new toaster. This is fucking weird. Do you guys have toasters? There's a fucking Uzi on the wall. Okay. Well, fuck. Okay. Yeah, dude, that is an underlying joke for both shows.
Just walk in.
Yeah, just walk in, dude.
I don't know why they have to do that. I think it's so lazy, you know, for TV shows. They're not, Arrow, these shows aren't the only shows that do that. Literally every show on TV, if they have like secure place.
People just walk in.
I'm like, why? It's supposed to be secure. What's going on here?
You might as well just put a sign up with neon saying Arrow Lair.
Yeah.
Doo-doo. Arrow pointing down.
Like an actual arrow.
A green one?
Yes, when it's open.
It's red when it's off. When it's closed.
It's actually who's ever working at the time. So when Arsenal comes back, it'll be red.
It's red, and then
when Oliver's there, it's green.
So what? Like, what if Felicity's the only one in there? Is it just a pair of glasses?
It's just ovaries.
Just a silhouette of her ass.
Oof! I would shop at that store.
The ass store.
Yes, her ass store. Mm-hmm. Anyways. All right, so let's jump into some news, or shall I call it the Diggle News Hour? Because this is all Diggle related news.
Sweet.
Yeah, way sweet. And after last episode, I just want to throw this in here before I jump into the news. I wasn't on the last episode, but holy fuck, Bobby, did I not text you? I was fucking hurting watching that episode.
He said he cried.
I did, dude. I had tears. Yeah. I was rough, dude. Watching those two fight.
It definitely brought some emotions.
It fucked me up, dude. Not going to lie. Anyways, all right, let's jump into the news here. Arrow's David Ramsey talks Diggle's exit from Team Arrow. Team Arrow has lost another one of its members. After Oliver finally confided to Diggle that he would not be relinquishing the Green Arrow title, the duo got into a knockdown, drag-out fight that ultimately resulted in Diggle leaving the team and taking the job with Argus during last week's episode of Arrow. But the fight was less about the hood and more about Diggle losing trust in Oliver's word, and therefore questioning Ollie's ability to do what it takes to save the city. We just saw two different ideologies, Ramsey tells EW, and it came out bad, really, in terms of they argue and they fought, and brothers do that. But at the core of it, it really is that there's more than one way to save the city. They've had a lot of personal losses over the years, and it's affected both them deeply. John, even though it comes out, unfortunately, in a pretty rough way, in his heart, he obviously loves Oliver, but he sees that there's more than one way to save the city. He's still committed to Oliver to a certain degree, but even more so than Oliver to the people of the city. First of all, we all know I love Diggle, but David Ramsey is a pretty smart son of a bitch, dude. That dude is pretty fucking cool. And that quote really makes him... that he gives a shit about his character. And I think I like that a lot about him. And you guys have to remember, this character was nothing. They created it for the show. And for him to give, you know, really, really, really that big of a, care about his character,
yeah,
is pretty awesome.
Well, he likes a paycheck.
Well, yeah, obviously. Is that our go-to for our thing?
That's my thing now.
That's Bobby's catchphrase now. Still, Ramsey believes Oliver and Diggle's relationship will endure. I think it absolutely will be repaired someday, Ramsey says, but unlike other fights that have come, where they've come back in a few episodes, they're going to take their time doing this. I really think we're going to explore how Argus plays into what Team Arrow wants to do. We've already shot some things where Diggle already come back a few times, but he's still committed to doing it his way. And his way doesn't necessarily mean all the time not doing it Oliver's way. He just sees that there's more than one way.
That's such a confusing quote.
Yeah, it just means that lost brain cells.
I want him to stay away for a long time. This has to go in like middle of next season.
Yes. You know what though? Here's the thing about that. And I'm gonna Mike, we just endured this on Supernatural, where we had Sam and Dean at a loss for a very long time. Shut up. And for us to go through that and watch that, it was rough, but we understood it. Do we think the Arrowverse fans are going to like this, being split? And David goes on to say, Oliver's kind of our Bruce Wayne character, so to speak, and he has a way of doing things, Ramsey continues, and it works and sometimes it doesn't work, and that's all fine, but I think Diggle thinks perhaps there's another way. Right now, the way he sees it, where they can work together for the common good of the city, then do it because they both really want the same thing. I think this is an interesting way of giving. You know, we've talked about Diggle and what they do with this character. And again, like I said, he was a made up character for the show. And I think him with Argus is going to be very interesting in the fact that Diggle is pretty, I would use the word righteous. He's a character that has morals, and we've seen Argus be kind of shitty. So I want to be interesting how he deals with that.
And I don't know if I care about Diggle and Argus at all.
Yeah.
Why? Why not?
Just because it's not. We spent all this time on the air going, like, focus on Oliver. And if all of a sudden we get into this whole, well, Diggle's having this battle with Argus and Oliver goes over and helps him, or somebody from another team goes over and helps him, I don't care.
Yeah. I think if they were smart, they would keep them separate. He can be at Argus and end up syncing up by the end of the following season because their stories are connected in a way that they didn't know. I think that type of writing could work. You see that in the Marvel shows on Netflix. They take a much different approach to ensemble casts. I feel like with the ensemble cast on DC on CW, they tend to get distracted from the main person who's supposed to be your lead, like Oliver. Whereas mm-hmm. with the ones on Netflix, the Marvel ones, they use the ensemble cast as a way to layer our lead's character story.
Well, they do it with the Marvel shows. Like if you're on Iron Fist, the show is about Iron Fist. And if Luke Cage shows up, it's not about that character.
And even his co-stars, like their story is there, but their story is there to only help the main arc.
I think the Diggle character in general has eclipsed what they thought it would do in the beginning by what they had designed and what we first saw with the character. And he's evolved quite a bit. So I think you're right, Mike. You know, Ollie, obviously we have to focus on Ollie, but I think Diggle has gotten to a point where it's like, hey, he's kind of right there on the same level as Oliver, as far as, you know, been there the entire time, been there through every step of everything that Oliver's ever dealt with. So this is huge, man. This will be an interesting point angle that they're going to do with Diggle. I will see how it plays out. I mean, we know I love Diggle, so. All right. So our other article, John Diggle is getting a very Diggle eccentric news this week. Diggle is getting an Arrowverse crossover soon. Here's what the man himself, David Ramsey, told us. Team Arrow has gone through a lot of ups and downs in Arrow season 6 as various members discovered they can no longer work together. John Diggle left the team Arrow behind after he and Oliver talked out their differences, and he's now moving to a new stage in his life. Fortunately, leaving Team Arrow doesn't mean John Diggle will be gone from the Arrowverse. He has a new arc of his own on Arrow and will soon cross over into another of the shows. David Ramsey, who has played Diggle for the past 6 seasons, spoke with Cinema Blend about its upcoming crossover. I don't know why they say crossover, as well as just how rare and remarkable the Arrowverse, blah, 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 blah. I'm doing a cameo on a bit of a small crossover. John Diggle will be on Flash in the next few weeks. When I was over there, one of the ADs said, "How you doing?" And I said, "Well, I'm doing great. I'm on a hit TV show crossing over on another hit TV show, and I'm enjoying because it will never happen again."
So are we going to assume that Argus is going to be shipping him out to other locations now?
I think he's going to be Argus's errand boy. Yeah. I mean, Lila's like, "I got this side piece I need to take care of, so I'm going to send my
husband out." Well, of course, because then you could call up and get like Argus people. And you get an Argus person that you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is he going to be like Captain Argus, or what's his name change? Is he going to still be Spartan? Spartan Argus.
He's got an Argus logo on his chest now.
Yep. Hey, man, they gotta have a brand.
Yeah, okay. They better be careful if they plan to do an Argus-centric season next year, because, you know, we already know that Warner Brothers in DC is like, they're insane. At any point, they can decide to say, hey, you know what, we're going to do a story in Argus, so you guys can't do that anymore. And then we're left with a season in shambles.
And you know what, dude, and here's how they are.
They'll get Agents of Argus.
Stupid. They'll get about halfway through the season, and then the movies will be like, "Nope, we're actually going to use Argus, so you guys are fucked." Like,
yeah, and a bomb goes off in Argus, and everybody dies, and except Diggle.
Diggle saves everyone
from the ashes.
Diggle saves Lila, and they dive out of a window, and then
just
the whole
call
place,
him Ashy.
Man, that's from, racist.
From the ashes.
Oh,
you saying he needs some Lubriderm or what?
No,
you only. Never mind.
Diggle needs to die though, so Lila can be free.
Dude.
Is that where you're going with this?
He likes the black snake moan.
That's fine. Well, she can like the little Mexican snake, too.
Oh, poquito. Oh,
it's pequeño.
Pequeño?
Pequeño. It's little as well.
Yes, thank you. I know a few words. Anyways, I don't know, dude.
Well, just obviously they're going to be using Diggle a lot different in the Arrowverse then.
Which is okay. But
I'm ready for it. We need change. We're going on 7 seasons, and if a show wants to survive past 7 or 8 seasons, then they need to make some changes to how their story unfolds every season. As long as they're not making confrontation between Oliver and Diggle and Oliver and anybody else, I'm over these confrontations.
This is my bust. No, this is my bust.
Look how busy we are as people, and we would never like waste so much time fighting with people. And so imagine Oliver in this show. Quick. Like, listen, I have a town to save. I don't need to worry about this shit.
I'd be like, look, fuck you, I'm out, and then I would just bounce. Like, I don't have time for that.
Yeah,
I don't have time for the drama.
It's not like Oliver's paying him anyways.
Ooh.
I know.
How does Diggle make money?
Note.
Pimping.
Dude, pimping. Who's he pimping out?
Pimping out.
He pimping out Dinah. Like, hey, Donna.
It's Wild Dog. He's pimping out Wild Dog.
No. Is Wild Dog a bottom bitch or a top bitch?
I don't know.
He's probably the bottom bitch. Since, you know, he couldn't even show his face in the...
Jesus, what just happened?
I don't. This got really fucked up.
It got dark and weird and sinister, and we both talking like this.
I don't know why we got down there.
And then we're prostituting.
Reminds me of the time I was a saucier down in San Antonio. Oh. Anyways, sorry. Oh, fuck. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick time.
Yeah, go to break.
Maybe a long break. I don't know. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, we'll talk about Arrow Season 6, Episode 18, Fundamentals. But first, a quick break.
Aw, people say he's just a pretty face.
DC on CW. We'll be right back.
The Rain Man Show.
The Rain Man Show.
Please, Lauren,
we got a gem from Florida. Okay. Pensacola woman mistakes 37-week pregnancy for bad Chinese food.
What?
She was actually 37 weeks pregnant. She was on the verge of giving birth to her second son. She's already been pregnant before.
This is
like, how? Were you drunk the entire pregnancy before this?
Probably.
So she called off work at 5 a.m. and an hour later, as the pain worsened, she woke her fiance up because they needed to call an ambulance. The stomach pains were excruciating and I could hardly move. I think it was about 6:30 a.m.
Wake up.
This goddamn orange chicken's ripping a hole in me.
Hold on. Wake up, Jan. Wake up. I think I ate too much at the local Chinese buffet.
I told you too much of that moose shoe pork was going to do this.
Oh, please. I need to go to the emergency room. Oh, please. One time I heard my cousin Elvira tell me something similar happened to her. She ate at the local little Chinese restaurant and she almost died.
She had cream of young guy.
I should have had the steamed rice.
It escalated so quickly that I was having contractions, and we figured out kind of what was going on, because at first we really didn't know what was going on. But there was a doctor, she said it was possible for a woman to learn of her pregnancy just hours before going into labor, but in her 20 years of practice, she's only witnessed it 3 times.
Oh, please. Something's happened to my bowels.
My bowels?
You gotta take me to the emergency room, Jethro, please. I don't know what's happening.
Get in the goddamn airboat. We'll drive on down to the local.
For some reason, the Chinese buffet's coming out of my pussy. I don't know why.
For more Rain Man, visit rainmanshow.com.
Free stuff is awesome, but free stuff that will spice up your bedroom is even better. Just go to adamandeve.com and select almost any one item for 50% off, and then we'll load on the free stuff. Just enter this very exclusive code, DEAL30, at checkout, and you'll get 10 tantalizing free gifts, including a sexy item for him, a special toy for her, and a third item you'll both enjoy.
Ooh.
And for your viewing pleasure, 6 free spicy movies on DVD, plus
free shipping.
Always sent in discreet packaging. So go to adamandeve.com now. Get 50% off plus 10 free gifts when you enter the exclusive offer code DEAL30. Again, that's DEAL30, because without it, no free stuff. That's DEAL30 at adamandeve.com.
You're listening to Rain Man Digital's DC on CW.
All right, guys, we are back. In this segment here, we're going to talk about Season 6, Episode 18, Fundamentals. This one was directed by Ben Bray, written by Speedweed and Emilio Ortega Aldrich.
Poquito.
It's very pequeño. All right. So we're actually going to do this a little bit differently. No, we're not. Well, maybe we are. Yeah, we are. So one of the things that this episode, because this was a very weird episode and we had like initial feelings and then they basically kicked us right in the penis. Like, I know watching this at first, I was like, what? I was really weirded out at first. So obviously this is a, this, Oliver's drug trip leads him to an interesting insight and into basically how he thinks, because we basically are inside of his brain in this entire episode. But let's start with, the initial fight scene. Dude, one of the things that I have noticed with this season, and Bobby, you've brought this up a couple times, is that the camera work for the fight scenes this year have been amazing.
Well, I think at the beginning they talked about they actually hired a new cinematographer this year, and it's obviously changed a lot.
No, but you're right, because even the opening sequence, the first thing I said when I was watching it was like, this has to be one of the best directed and executed stunt scenes we've seen all season. It reminded me again a lot of Daredevil season one, where the camera is right in there. It's in the action and they refuse to cut until the scene's over. It was good.
Yeah. I just one of the things that I've noticed is Bobby mentioned it, and it's like you pay attention to it. It really is a departure from last season, and it's different. And like you said, Mike, you know, going into, you know, season six, season seven, that was a change that I think was for the better. Seeing this choreography and seeing it up close like that, it almost gives you that super real feel to it, or like you are there in the action. And I love that, dude. Well,
because before it would be like two cameras, a wide shot and some kind of close up, and they would cut in between the two.
Yeah. And those wide shots were usually horrendous. In fact, I want to say 2 years ago, and this season and even most of last season, those problems are non-existent. But in earlier seasons, there would be problems with the stunts where it doesn't even look like the punches.
The wide shots,
and it's very obvious. Like, you totally missed. Or you can tell that the whoever is the stunt double for Thea and Laurel, it was just really bad when you have those long wide shots. And the guy that's doing it now, the cinematographer, is working really good, really well with the stunt team.
Everything's gotten tighter, you know, like everything has gotten the punches, the kicks, you know, Oliver using the bow. Yeah, like everything is tighter, and it's so much, the angle is different where there isn't a lot of missed choreography.
And they're also doing different things with the lighting, because he interrupted the electricity, so it was flashing the whole time. So you can kind of mask some of that stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, with the flashing, that it's like, oh, it doesn't look that shitty because it was dark half the time.
Yeah, and also the awesome tracking shot from the other side of the wall where you're shooting through the glass, windows, the glass in the office.
Yeah, that's
another great way to hide the stunts and the kicks and the hits, and then also just offer some amazing, you know, cinematographic eye candy. It looked great.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely are all on the same page as the fight scenes and everything. Let's talk about Felicity basically parent trapping Diggle and Ollie. That was and I liked the fact that she even mentioned it. That was pretty funny. I mean, dude, as much as I make fun of the parent trap maneuver, it fucking works.
Have you tried that maneuver before?
I am,
with your family.
I am currently working on a parent trap. No, I'm not. I've never tried.
I was like, what? Well,
I thought you were gonna say something sleazy, like it's a new sex move, the parent trap.
Dude. Actually, I bet that's already a thing. I would almost guarantee that's a thing. Bobby's going to Urban Dictionary right now.
Yeah, but what would the parent trap be?
I think the sleazy version.
I think a parent trap be where you say you were wearing a condom, but you actually come in her to get her pregnant.
That might be it. Or
that's
or
also rape, but okay.
Yeah.
No, it's not rape.
Not if she consents to having sex.
I think it's now in some states a form of rape now if you do something like that. Yeah.
What if it's like, what if parent trapping is like you get your current girlfriend and then you get your ex-girlfriend and then you try to get a threesome?
Oh, that's a good parent trap.
Right? That's a parent trap, right?
But I still can't get over why you would call your two girlfriends your parents.
Well, dude, it's a weird fantasy, dude.
What?
Joe Dirt wanted to fuck his sister. Whatever, dude.
Oh, God. Did you just justify wanting to have
Holy
sex
shit,
with your sister?
I was almost right.
Were you really?
A parent trap is when a guy is having unprotected sex with a girl, and just as he's about to pull out, she wraps her legs around him, pulls him in, so he comes inside her, and it may result in a pregnancy.
That's fucked up. That's
I wouldn't
a
have
thing.
A problem with that.
What if she's hot?
That's what I'm saying.
It's like Jessica Alba parent traps you.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. I welcome that trap.
Yeah. That's a trap I would fall in multiple times.
How do I trip this trap sooner?
Jessica, if you're listening. I'd like to trip your parent trap. Is that like a mouse trap?
So but
like,
yes, all the marble has to fall and roll down the track.
Yes.
And as soon as the boot kicks it over, we're good to go.
It's when you fall inside.
I like how he just went back to Jessica Alba, like circa 2011.
Still hot, dude. I did like that she parent trapped them, you know, basically telling Diggle that he needed an upgrade, or some kind of firmware on his arm, which is like, okay. And then
if this was Wild Dog, he would have been mad.
He'd have needed a whole new brain. That would have been
no. Like if they tried to tell him, "Hey, come in because something's wrong with your arm, whatever."
Why you tell me to do this, Hoss?
He's like, he'd be like, "Why you do this to me? You don't trust me.
You don't trust me, Hoss?
Why'd you just tell me that you were going to run some test?
I can't believe you'd tell me that.
I can't
Hoss.
Trust you no more. You're lying to me.
What? You don't think I got Wi-Fi in my apartment? I can't upgrade my own arm.
Why? Can you just give me the firmware over email? Bobby, you got a Google Drive for
Bobby
that?
Bobby, for some reason, turned Wild Dog into like a slave from the 1830s.
Yes, Amasa.
Oh, my God.
I have no idea why you used that accent for Wild Dog.
That's not who he is?
That's the worst.
Oh. At least that bad impression wasn't me this time. Thank God. I have way too many bad impressions on this network. Oh, my God.
Bob's like not humoring us at all, dude.
Anyways, all right. I will say this, and I definitely, this entire situation, this was the final nail in the coffin of OTA for this season. I don't think we see them back together at all, or Diggle at least, you know, in the bunker or any type of, we may see them work together.
I don't want them to.
You don't think the season finale, they're not going to work together to get rid of.
Yeah, but I don't want them to. I said this on the last show that I feel like in order to redeem Oliver, he needs to do a middle finger up to everybody, and he needs to save the city on his own.
I agree. I'm going to throw a devil's advocate out here, okay? And I do agree with you. I agree with you, Mike. But I think this is going to come down to where he learns a lesson at the end here that he needs the team. I don't want this to happen, but I think this is where they're going because they've built this season up with Diaz breaking the team apart, knowing that when they're all together, they're hard to beat. You know, when they're functioning and firing on all cylinders, they're going to be a hard thing to beat. And I think his whole goal was to break, to do this to Oliver, make him lose everything so he's an easier target. And I think we're going to see, I don't want this to happen because I agree with you, Mike. I think he should save the city on his own and go back to being, you know, the solo, you know, good guy. But I think they're gonna do the whole maneuver. It's like, oh, I do need the team because look how strung out I am, and blah blah blah, and
even after like the buildup of this episode and kind of what they were working towards all season, you still think they're gonna come back at the end?
Yep.
Ugh.
I don't want it to happen.
No.
Yeah, it's not gonna happen. I'm gonna disagree. It can't, because talk about just terrible writing.
I wouldn't say can't. Don't say can't.
Are you just setting yourself up so you're not upset when it happens? Is that what you're trying to do?
I'm yeah, there's a little bit of it. Yeah. I don't want it to happen. I want him to save the city on his own. And I think I agree with you. I think we've gotten so spread out with just, you know, team members and fucking, you know, drama that doesn't need to be there. And we got away from the fact that Oliver's the Green Arrow and he's a fucking stud and he doesn't really need anybody's help to be, you know, if he goes back to being more of a vigilante style bad guy or good guy. And, but I know how these shows are and I know how CW is, and I know that I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think Diggle's coming back. But I wouldn't be surprised if he uses the new team to help take down Diaz. And Diggle just happens to help out. But I think that's how he wins. I don't think he takes down Diaz by himself. Not with everything that Diaz has. And I don't, again, I keep reiterating, I don't want it to happen, but I just, they've had this weird underlying, like, you know, they keep spreading him thin. You know, they even talked about it when he went into the police station. So I just,
they make him look, and they've done this for years. They diminish Oliver all the time.
Yeah.
And it's not for tragic, you know, Shakespearean writing. They're not trying to make a character and bring him down to his knees to where he has nothing and then build him up again. They're not doing it like that. They make him look foolish because everybody always turns on Oliver. They've done it since season 4. That's their go-to. Let everyone turn on Oliver and point fingers at him and say he's selfish, he makes bad decisions.
Right.
They've always accused him of things, and Oliver always accepts it. And it's like the writers are intentionally doing that. They're diminishing our character, and I want him to finally redeem himself for everything that happened to him the last 6 seasons. All the people mm-hmm. doubting him, the Thea at one point,
Roy Harper.
Roy Harper. I mean, they've all argued and disagreed with Oliver, and I think he needs this. Yeah. I want one season he does it on his own.
Yeah. Again, we're on the same page, dude, because I want the same thing. I just think we've gotten we've gotten such a different version of Oliver that's just not what we're used to. And I think I want to see him do this on his own. I want to see him take everybody down. I mean, do you think Felicity helps, or is he just straight does it on his own?
I think after this week, he does it on his own. I mean, he basically fired her this week.
He needs to get down to the basics. He really does. He did
it just fine on his own before when he was doing it out of the bottom of a club.
He needs to go full on Batman and just go solo, no partner, and get yourself a cool car with a bunch of cannons on the side and just blow that shit up.
Just become Batman?
Blow it. Yeah, why not? Doesn't he have a vehicle in the comic books?
Just change the name of the show. The Dark Knight. We're done.
The Green Knight.
The Green Knight. He's got like ears now for some reason.
He needs to get a car and, you know.
I'm sure he has a car, dude. We just don't see it.
How does he get places? We never.
It's a motorcycle.
It's a motorcycle. Right?
Not anymore, though. He very rarely uses it now, huh?
They don't need to show us that he's riding the motorcycle there. It's parked out back.
I want to see it.
I do want to see it too.
If you don't see it, it didn't happen.
So then how does he get there? We didn't see him walk, so how is he obviously shouldn't be there.
That's why your logic sucks.
My logic doesn't suck. You suck.
You just proved your own logic doesn't work. How did he get there?
So if you do, dude, I'm still sticking to it. You don't see the death on screen. It didn't happen.
You don't.
Let's talk about Felicity and William and Oliver being late to, was it William's, was it a science fair?
Yeah.
First of all, I did not see Oliver getting angry like that. We haven't seen him kind of flip out, you know, like flip out for no reason like that in a while. That was
But did he really do it?
That was the question.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering about that too.
Because like when they start bringing in all like the psychedelic type things, and when Felicity at the end there was like, you know, kind of like, no, that didn't happen. I didn't throw you out. What the fuck's going on? You're like, what is real and what isn't?
Yeah.
Well, dude, they did.
But even the vertigo, let's say it did happen. The vertigo is what made him flip out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's all justified, right?
Yeah. You're on drugs, dude. You can do anything on drugs.
Well, no, that just shows you how far Felicity's come, because 2 seasons ago, Felicity would have really blamed him.
Yeah.
Be like, you should have wore gloves. You knew it was on his hand.
That's exactly something she would say.
That is, yeah, ago. I was like that. You should have worn some gloves that day. It was cold out.
I told you to stop shaking hands.
You're supposed to fist bump now.
You're always selfish. You're always thinking of yourself, Oliver.
Selfish. You know what kind of diseases you could bring into the house and drugs?
I think you just summed up like seasons 3 through 5.
Yeah. Well, no, I would have had to follow it up. Like, you have a kid.
I will say this. The initial thought process that I had when he flipped out, I was like, oh, shit. He actually got mad at his son. And then I was like, Then I was thinking to myself, like,
yeah, see, my initial thought process was like, oh, bitch reverted. Somebody hit the reset button.
Oh, William's, I want William to die again.
No, William and Felicity. I was like, they're both on their period right now.
Oh, poor William. That just must be his first period.
That's why they're so close.
This is my first menstrual bleed. Can you help me, Felicity? I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this thing. Where does it go?
It's so big.
This is going to be a high flow. I can feel it.
Do they have a virgin section? Because yours are just too big.
My dad must have a big dick.
Oh my God. It's fucking wrong.
I'm dying over here.
That must be wrong. That's just wrong.
The string goes on the outside, William.
Show me yours, how you put yours in.
Your hoo-ha's bigger than mine, Felicity.
I think my grandmother says that.
Oh my God.
What's happening?
Fucking crying.
All right, bring it in.
I can't help it.
That's so bad. This is going to get cut.
My abs hurt.
Oh, yeah. So, my initial thought it was the same.
So you were looking at it as an Oliver type flip out, and yeah, I was looking at it as an Felicity revert.
Well, so I looked at it in at Oliver like, oh shit, he flipped out on his son, because we haven't seen him do that. But then I saw like Felicity like, really gonna kick him out for that? Like, I mean, that was pretty fucked up, but like,
see, me and Mike as parents looked at it as like, sometimes kids are fucking annoying.
He's not lying. I mean, Bob witnessed it today. He was walking to the studio. I mean, my kid would not do anything I asked him to do. And sometimes you raise your voice.
And you just yell. You're just like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
William needs to be smacked around a few times. I harden him up a bit. There we go.
Okay.
No, not sexual. Plus, I thought he just had a menstrual bleed. Not, he can't get hardened up, too.
He might be able to.
You know, so I didn't think Oliver... You know, flipping out was that horrible. I went with the other way.
I guess the only
reason I did it that way was because the last 2 weeks, everything has been kind of out of the blue and there's been no setup. And I got instantly mad because I was like, they haven't shown Felicity to show this side of herself in forever. And then if all of a sudden they did it, because this was all before we knew the drugs. And if it came out of nowhere again,
It would have been weird
because I was even upset last week when they did with the Diggle thing. It was a good argument. It was something that had to happen, but it wasn't set up like over a long period of time like I wanted. They went like all of a sudden it was like, I'm done. And then like the next week it comes in. It's like, fuck you, get out of the house. And I'm like, oh, Jesus, again.
And I think they did that on purpose, man. The writers absolutely did that on purpose to give you that reaction. Yeah.
If I don't do the show, I'm turning off my TV at that point.
And then you would have missed out on
it. And I would have missed out on the end because it's like, nah, I'm done with this shit right now.
Yeah. I have to look at it for me. I forget that I look at things a different standpoint when it comes to like children and stuff because I don't have kids. So I look at things from a different aspect than you guys do because you do have kids. So I forget that sometimes. And I think, you know, now that you bring that up, I guess that does make a lot of sense. Yeah.
I've heard my parents yell at me like that before.
Oh, fuck, dude. Yeah.
We're going to be late. Fuck you. I got shit going on.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, Dad. Will we get into the second inning of my game?
I'm pooping.
Dad, I'm supposed to start. I'm starting catcher. Can I? No? Okay. We'll get there when we get there. Love you.
He's introspective in Orion's history.
Please don't beat me. Just kidding. I never got beat. I got grounded, but. All right. You guys want more DC on CW? Go to patreon.com/Rain Man Digital to get some. We are constantly adding additional content each and every week, or every month, including The DC on CW Presents, where the DC on CW hosts discuss any and all things DC related. Also, the new Black Knight Lightning, Nightwing? Black Lightning series.
Japanese knockoff.
It's an anime. That has been added to our lineup of shows to cover. But in order to hear our discussion on this series, you have to pledge to our Patreon. When you pledge $5 or more a month, you will gain access to all this plus hours of additional Rayman digital content. That doesn't just include us. That includes all the other shows too as well, guys. So, there's a $5 tier. There's a $10 tier. And, there's also, what's the tier, for the host, Bob?
It's 35, I think.
Yep. The $35 tier, if you guys want to actually be on the show with us, you can do that too as well. So please head over to patreon.com/RainmanDigital and pledge today. All right. Let's talk about the hallucinations, dude. Okay. I gotta talk about the biggest one right after that. Dude, I about lost my mind when the elevator opened and Adrian Chase was standing there. I did not see that coming. I think that was like, I was like, oh shit. And then what I absolutely loved about that entire scene was that he played up the fact, you know, you never went back for my body.
Ryan's theme song.
You never went back for my body. You know.
If Ryan writes an episode or a movie, everybody's going to have to like get tagged. Like you're going to toe tag everybody at the end.
Fuck yeah, I am, dude. If I'm in a movie, okay, if I'm in a series and I'm like, all right, making sure none of these motherfuckers are coming
Ryan's
back.
The guy in Nom that cut off the ears.
Fuck yeah.
Of Charlie and wore them as a necklace.
And then I burn their fucking bodies.
For confirmed deaths.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Confirmed kills, dude. Gotta do what you gotta do, man. He should have grabbed like Adrian Chase's like nose or something. Just cut his nose off for it. That's morbid as fuck, huh?
I'm pretty sure noses just deteriorate.
I guess ears are made out of cartilage, huh? Damn. Regardless, that was I did not see that coming, and I thought that was what an awesome swerve for them. And I text you, dude. His monologue that whole time was like, I forget the actor's name. I always forget his name. That guy is fucking good, dude.
Yeah.
I know.
He was the best part of last season.
Yeah, I know. I was really bummed out about the whole reveal.
Yeah, but that wasn't an actor thing. That was just a
story thing. But I will tell you this, guys. Out of most of the villains that we've had on this show, we've had some pretty good ones. He was fucking phenomenal.
Yeah,
and this
good
scene,
actor.
Yes, and this scene was
Josh
so.
Sierra.
Thank you, dude. This scene was fucking rad. It was probably my favorite scene of the whole episode.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Hands down, right?
Well, that and it was like back-to-back weeks of just solid like acting with somebody on the other side of Stephen Amell.
Right, dude. I know we give Stephen a lot of credit, dude. I mean, he's a great actor. We've seen him do some really cool stuff on this show. But Diggle last week and then, Adrian Chase. Holy shit, dude. And the fight, like just him throwing him around. Okay, so my initial thought, once we kind of knew that he was fucked up on when he had the test this is vertigo. I thought he was totally liaring himself and beating the shit out of himself. What are you doing? I'm kicking my ass. For a split second.
So it's always weird because like during our Flash episode, I brought up Memento and you brought up 50 First Dates. I was thinking Fight Club.
Oh my God, what's wrong with me?
And you went Liar Liar. That always says where our minds go for like movie references or pop culture references.
God, and dude, Fight Club's so much better. God dang it.
Okay, so this was another one that I initially went like bad when the fight scene started.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh Jesus, I'm gonna have to listen to Ryan talk about that gun doesn't hold that many fucking bullets. And then they kept shooting them. Like, now I know that gun doesn't hold that many bullets.
you were thinking that I was gonna,
Cause you usually point that stuff out. Like, you know, this gun only holds this much and, you know.
Do you wanna hear something funny? I never even looked at, I was so enveloped to the fact that Adrian Chase was back. I never even fucking counted how many shots in that six shooter he had. I was not even paying attention.
Oh yeah, cause he shot like 37 times.
I was just like, oh my God, Adrian Chase is back. I didn't even think about it, dude. But yeah, I see what you're saying. Like, I don't know if that's intentional. I as much as I'd love to say, oh man, they really thought of like really cool mind trippy shit in a trip. I don't know. Some of it could have been or just a happy mistake.
I don't think so, because Mike even brought up, like, they held up a tray, you know, and Oliver was trying to deflect bullets.
And it didn't actually – there was no squib bounce off of it or anything.
You know, there was a lot of things going on that, you know, once you kind of know that it was a drug trip, a lot of the other things start making sense.
Yeah, and I guess I thought about it, like, what was something they thought of and what was something that it just randomly did. You know what I mean? Like, I guess that was my biggest thing. But dude, this whole scene was so well done. Well,
the entire drug trip was amazing. And it's the type of writing that I actually admire. And I wish the writers would utilize this type of storytelling more often. Because when you really want to think a story out, this is what happens. The whole idea of Oliver being alone, everything stripped away, right?
Yep.
Okay. Then in order to realize that being alone is what he needs, he goes into this drug trip, like Bob Ment said, about clarity. And then it turned into an introspective where he starts examining himself. Yep. And he figures out at the end, well, I know what I've done wrong and I know what I need to do. And it shows the strength of Steve Amell and his character, Oliver Queen, and how much the story needs to rely on him, because this entire episode, for the first time in probably years, was 100% about Oliver.
Yeah.
Well, I think the thing that I really enjoyed about this episode, if you really deep down think about it, this was a, like you said earlier, Bob, this was a look into Stephen Amell's or Oliver's mind. And I think that having Chase be Oliver's conscience made a lot of fucking sense. And you have to remember where we started. We started with Oliver, a straight up vigilante, killing people. And how many people in the first season do we see get fucking killed by an arrow? So to have Adrian Chase as his conscience made an absolute so much sense, especially even towards the end when he flips it on himself and the hood shows up. And the hood and Adrian Chase, really not that far apart from each other. So for them to show us the inner monologue, but on the outside, was fucking genius, dude. Absolutely genius. And not to mention, I mean, I already blew the guy, but like, not to mention, his performance in those scenes was awesome.
So I hate to bring this up.
Uh-oh.
But we've seen this before. We've seen it on the show before. They did it with Diggle and Deadshot.
Oh, yeah, they did, didn't they?
And
wasn't he on a drug trip, too?
I don't remember how Diggle got there, but he was following around. It might have been like a traumatic disorder thing.
Maybe they're really good. They're just really good at trips, dude.
Well, drugs are cool.
we do not condone drugs on DC and CW.
Bob does.
Bob does. I does.
Bob does.
But, you know, it didn't take anything away from it because it was done in a completely different way. But it was just one of those things. I remember, if you remember right, and you're a long-term listener, I didn't even realize that he was dead the whole time on the Deadshot one.
Oh.
Until you guys told me. I remember Mike making fun of me. Like, you didn't know he was dead? I'm like, he was dead?
Oh, my God. I forgot to.
I did make fun of you for a while on that one.
Yeah, it's like Deadshot being dead. I'm like, oh, what? I'm like, I totally missed that out, you know, but whatever.
Forgot about that one.
But again, it was cool seeing.
It's one of the few times I've seen Bob get sheepish, like his face.
He's like, oh.
I'm supposed to be in control.
I'm supposed to be the top.
What?
Everything turns to a gay like joke.
Funnier that way.
But the one on top. You know, just to take that, like, that drug trip, and, you know, I've heard people tell, like, stories of being, like, on ayahuasca and stuff and seeing the clarity of the situation. So it was, like, a weird thing to see. Not a weird thing, but a smart play, I guess, to take that as, you know, his clarity moment.
I will say this, dude.
Who wrote this episode?
Speedweed.
Speedweed.
Yep. So Bobby sent me a text.
Who?
Bobby sent me a text, and it was a meme, and it had the hood standing in front of Oliver, and then underneath it had the Kermit meme, where it's like Kermit talking to Kermit, and it was the funniest shit. I don't know why it was relevant. It was just because you see those memes where it's like, oh, me. And then, you know, like the other me saying some shit to me. And that scene was that meme. Like having him stand in front of him like that and basically fucking call him out on his bullshit. And it was like, whoa. Like you said, the clarity of that moment of having yourself basically like, hey, dude, you're fucking up.
Well, yeah. Well, that and even, you know, going into the confronting Laurel, confronting Wild Dog.
The Wild Dog one.
You know, we did see him go through these steps that I think is needed. And again, I hope he comes out and we see a different Oliver next week.
Yeah.
To where it's not so much a doubt in what he's doing.
He just knows.
He just knows.
Yeah. I the Laurel scene was rough. You know, that was rough. And to see her, you know, well, you haven't, the gamut, we're supposed to, like, that. I was like, oh, shit.
So innocently hot in that scene.
Oh, so hot. So hot. The Wild Dog one made me laugh. I'm not going to lie.
Just because he left.
Why was he in a mask? I don't get that.
Because he wasn't there.
He's not there.
Dude, he's.
Oh, the actor?
Yeah.
I'm assuming the actor probably only had so many episodes on his contract. They
but
wanted
it was his voice, though.
Right, so they did some ADR.
Some ADR.
Damn.
Or he already said that once, and we just don't remember.
Yeah.
He said Haas, right?
Yeah, he said Haas. He said Haas, 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 Haas.
They chefed him. Like,
yeah.
From South Park.
He was the Mars Attacks alien. Ack, 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 ack. He just said Haas, Haas, Haas the whole time.
The worst.
Nobody said it was funny, okay? But I just thought that was the first thing I noticed. I'm like, oh, damn, Wild Dog's there. And then they panned and he's got his mask on. I'm like, okay. All right. Couldn't get the actor to come in and do a scene. Got it. All right. Regardless, though, like to have, like you said, Bobby, to have him go through these different scenes and to reach that moment where he realizes that this is all stuff that I need to atone for. And once I'm past that, I'm back to being myself. And
he comes out and fires Felicity.
Yeah, he dude, like just straight
and
up.
Again, that's why I think that this season's gonna end with him being alone.
And man,
he's gonna be rough. I'm gonna keep saying it because I hope this is what happens, that it ends more on a down note. Oliver somehow saves the city but ends up dead
in a
coma. And it's just him and Felicity, and that team starts crawling back to him. And he still looks at him, and then Felicity does the same thing that they did to her when she went to go check on Wild Dog. Fuck you, go away.
Oh, God.
And it just ends on, like, that dark note. I don't think there's anything wrong with if our cliffhanger ends shitty.
Yeah.
So
I want them all to know that he is the best.
Yeah.
And that they needed him. So that's the ending that we should have.
It's the ending that we should have. Is it the one we deserve?
But we're just getting it set up. It's set up. Like, you can see the lane.
Yeah.
Just don't fucking divert. They just need to keep going.
Yeah.
I think the thing with that one is that ending would be amazing. And I think it would be I don't call that a dark ending, because what happens there is obviously Oliver's not going to die, but I think he goes out saving the city. He, you know, is hurt, does it on his own, and it shows the team like, hey, you know, I didn't need you. Like Mike said, you needed me. And I would love to see Felicity do that. Like say, hey, fuck you. You didn't let us come see Wild Dog. Why would I let you come see, you know?
Yeah, don't come crawling back.
Don't come crawling back. You know, Oliver just went out of his way to save the fucking city, and now you want to come back?
Yeah.
I mean, do you think she does that to Diggle, though?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Ooh, that would be rough, man. So I think hopefully next week we see a more focused Ollie. I think we have to, right? I mean, because that basically moves us into the fact that he's not going to be mayor anymore.
Yeah.
They ended that.
But they ended it, but we got Captain Lance's story.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
Let's get into this real quick. They want to remove, like, the corruption people want to remove Oliver.
Right.
Is moving Captain Lance really any different for them?
No, because he directly talks to Oliver. So it's like he's Oliver's still running the city as mayor. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be things that Lance is going to do without his
You know, because the only thing, like, I thought it was like a cool type storyline thing. But what I worry about is, like, I hope next week is like on News 52 is Captain Lance's drunk streak going to come and ruin the city.
Yeah.
You know, where they start like a smear campaign on him now.
I'm going to be honest, dude. I wanted the whole mayor thing to end. I liked it at first. I thought it was neat for Oliver to you know, save the city on two different fronts. But it just got old, dude. Like, it got old and I just was tired. I'm like, dude, can he just be the Green Arrow? I don't want to see him, you know, in a suit sitting in an office. And I know that sounds bad because I was all for it in the beginning, but it got to the point where it was like, well, I don't really care about his mayoral duties, dude. Like, I just don't. But I think it's cool that Lance, the whole smear campaign, the mayor thing, I don't want that to happen with Lance either, though. But it's like, they want to get rid of Oliver out of there, but then they get Lance. It's basically having Oliver 2.0 in there.
Yeah, but it's also, there's a difference between a general and a captain. If you can knock out the general and put the captain in the command position, your risk of winning the war, you know, increases. I mean, it's a big difference between the two of them.
Unless you got a crazy ass, you know, drunk captain who could go on drunk rampages and save his daughter, who somehow try to kill everyone, but somehow everyone forgets
that. And maybe that's the play. You brought up the daughter. Well, we know Diaz is fucking boinking Laurel.
He's laying the pipe on that. He's laying the dragon on
that. I'm so jealous.
Well, hey, you know, she was studying her law. Maybe she's brought in as deputy mayor now.
Oh, damn.
You know, and then now Diaz has kind of got daddy's ear.
Fuck.
Yeah.
That would suck.
I mean, that's the only play I could see happening. Because who else does he trust to bring in as, like, his right-hand man?
We see that. I mean, he basically says the city's open for business. So
maybe it was all part of it.
Yeah. I mean, dude, he's going to be pimping Vertigo all over the place.
I still got to believe that there's something going on in Laurel's head. She's sincere about a lot of it.
I think she's a triple agent. She's playing it. She's playing all the sides, dude.
I think she's going to end up taking the good side in the end. I think there is a connection between her and her non-dad.
Her sort of dad.
Yeah.
I agree. I think, you know, they're showing her, or, you know, hang out with Diaz, but I think she's that chaotic neutral. As much as we've seen her do some shitty stuff, I think she's playing both sides.
Yeah.
And I would not be surprised if she betrayed Diaz. I mean, I'm still having a hard time considering Diaz the big bad. I don't know why I'm having a problem with that.
Do you not like that guy's a really good actor?
No, he's a great actor. I'm not saying he's a bad actor. I'm just having a hard time fathoming a guy that we saw be a low level street thug selling drugs.
Hey, everyone's got to rise sometime, right?
I guess that's true, dude. I don't know. I'm still looking at it that way.
But how low level could he be if he was part of, like, the four?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I know that. I'm having a hard time relating it, I guess. I don't know. I'm used to Damian Dark or fucking, you know, Slade Wilson or Adrian Chate, like, big bads. This guy is just a dude in a leather jacket. And it's weird to me. I don't know.
Sometimes dude can just be that.
Well, right. I know. He has a leather jacket. That's what he is. He's the dude in a leather jacket. But I'm used to the big bads being, you know, in the Arrowverse being someone.
Somebody.
You know what I mean? Like,
someone like important in the comic book world?
Yeah.
Or,
like I said, Deathstroke. We've had,
right.
Like, I'll even go into the Arrowverse, you know, like Reverse Flash, fucking Zoom. Like, we've had these names and Ricardo Diaz. Like, it's just weird to me. I even had the same thing with Caden James.
Is it because his last name is Diaz? Be honest.
Yes. It's because he's Mexican. It's because he, yes, that's exactly what it is. Stupid.
What if Oliver decides in order to beat?
He cancels Cinco de Mayo.
The only way he can beat him is by building a wall around the city.
That's actually a storyline in.
He builds a wall?
There's a wall.
But not to keep Diaz out of Mexico.
But no, it's to cut off the shitty side of the city.
Oh, he's going to cut off Diaz's warehouse with a wall around it. I'm going to put the National Guard on there to keep you in.
What's a sentence? We're just going to build a wall around him.
That's fucked up. All right. So with that, let's jump into our final thoughts of the episode. Mike, why don't you go first?
It was the first episode in a long time that I didn't pull my hair out and kind of complain that, oh my God, here we go again. People are fighting with each other. I can't do it. I'm done with that. But it's refreshing to get an episode that was well thought out, well written, and that was 100% about the lead actor, Oliver Queen.
Yep.
The show is called Arrow. Therefore, we should spend a lot more time on him. And it goes to show you that you don't need all the sideline show. You don't need all the Dinah Drakes and the Wild Dogs all the time. This is Arrow. We watch it for him. So for them to go back to the basics, even in that type of in this particular episode where it's all on Oliver, and it just makes me miss the good old days where we didn't have to worry about 17 other storylines. We could just worry about him.
Yep.
So, and the introspective was my favorite part. The part that they used this vertigo drug to help flesh out Oliver's thoughts a bit in a way that would otherwise be very exposition-y.
Yeah.
It'd be over the top if he has to talk it out. And, yep. And this was a great way to gimmick it out.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Adrian Chase scene, man, was just so good to me. Using that platform of a drug trip to give us all of the things that we've been wondering about Oliver for the last 5 years was awesome. I mean, even the fact that, you know, the whole monologue, seeing old Laurel, you know, in the bed. I mean, even Wild Dog, as goofy as it was, I mean, like, these are all sins that we've seen Oliver have in the last, you know, couple years, and for him to finally reach some clarity on it. I mean, hell, the fact that the Hood showed up and said, "You failed this city," like, that just, it was such a really cool scene. And I agree, man, the first 15 minutes I wanted to punch myself in the face. Yeah. Like, I was just like, god damn, here we go again. And then they like I said earlier, they kicked us right in the nuts and said, holy shit, dude, this is a really smart way of doing this. I'm still on the fence with Laurel. I have our Black Siren. I don't know what's going on with that one. Diaz, I don't know why I'm struggling with that. I mean, I know I just mentioned it, but I'll come around. I've got 5 episodes. I mean, the guy's a great actor. I'm not saying he's bad. It's weird. I don't know. But what a great episode. I do love the direction they're going with Captain Lance. You know, now he's the mayor, and I'm looking forward to seeing where that goes and develops. I mean, I agree, Mike. This was a really, really good episode. And I hope we keep this tone with the last five episodes that are coming up.
Yeah.
I got nothing to add.
Yeah, I didn't think you did. That's typically what happens when you go last. Guys, that will basically do it for today's DC on CW Arrow edition. Remember, you can always catch any past or future DC on CW episodes through the Rain Man digital app. Follow us on Twitter at DC on CW, Facebook.com/DC on CW, Instagram, DC_on_CW. With that, guys, we will see you next week.
Not in the mood for chit chat. Gotcha. Ready when you are.